What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Welcome, everyone. Yay, we're back. Another week. And today I have the privilege of interviewing Marnie Barranco. And we're going to talk about living your life. Marnie is an inspirational speaker, writer, empowerment coach, and access consciousness facilitator. She has over 15 years of experience in director and VP level positions across a variety of industries, from business to relationships to parenting and more. Marnie facilitates classes and private sessions using pragmatic tools of access to empower people to create the life they desire. And when I first met Marnie, we were actually at a Joy of Business breakfast. And I just remember your kindness, your presence really touched me. And you ever have one of those people that you meet and they're like, they remember you? And somehow that touches something in your heart. You're like, oh, wow. And just the acknowledgement and the presence that you have. And I'm just so thrilled to have you on the show today, Marnie. So thanks for coming.
Thank you, Venus, for all of that. And I'm really, really excited to be here. Like, and I just have to say, I'm sitting here like tearing up with the introduction. This is the first time I've been on your show, so I haven't heard your little intro till today, and just the whole thing of what you've always known is possible. Mm-hmm. And no matter what anybody else said, you've always known it, and then somehow finding your way back to that and choosing that is really awesome. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome, thanks. Well, that's actually one of the ways that I like to start this show is like, just I'm just curious, because you know, there's in the world, I would say probably everybody has changed something that they thought was impossible to change. They've changed it. And we all have little tools and tricks and how that happens. But a lot of times it's just a decision or a choice, you know, like I'm changing this, whatever it takes, I'm changing this. But I'm wondering if there's an area in your life that you thought was impossible to change that you did change that you could share with us today.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an awesome question, and I can honestly say there's quite a few. The first thing, though, that pops up for me is the area of relationships, and I grew up very much in a Protestant Christian family, you know, church three times every week, all the things, and so all of the expectations of, you know, you get married, you have children, there's this religious right way to do things, and buying into that, and then you know, getting married at 22 and having kids shortly after, and not married to a bad guy at all, but having this thing of like, oh my gosh, this is not actually me. This is not actually what I desire to set out and create in the world and what I would like to have as my life, but it was the thing I was supposed to choose, so I chose it. And so I scrambled to get rid of that and change that. But the way that I did it was to jump into relationship number two and have another kid, you know, we're talking like epic failures, trying to sort it out while failing dynamically. And it took me until, gosh, you know, like my youngest son being 4 years old going, what is actually possible with relationship? Do I even want one? And if I do, what do I want it to look like? And so really getting clear. So I went through divorce number two and single mom of three children. And I actually had three stepchildren and that were still very much in my life. And so that was an area where I tried to mimic and choose what I thought everybody else decided was the correct and the right way. And it so did not work for me. And I was so miserable and then judged myself dynamically for being divorced twice. I mean, how horrible is that? And to actually get, and boy, was it a journey and a process and questions and hitting the bottom multiple times, but getting back up again to go, if I could really get clear and set aside what everybody else thinks is the correct and the right and the appropriate way to do this, what is it I desire and can I choose and create it? And that's a probably 5-hour call right there.
Totally.
But that's an area. Yeah. But that would be the area that I finally set myself free to go, you know what? Anybody wants to judge that I've miserably failed, okay, have at it. Get in line. I've judged myself dynamically. And if I let go of all of it and really just started to ask myself, what do I desire? What works for me? What would I choose? What would I know? What would I create? And that's an area where I completely have turned around and have a lot of freedom and space and joy where it used to be everything but joyful.
Wow, that's awesome. And that actually segues very brilliantly and nicely in today's topic about living your life.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
And like, what do you mean by live your life?
That's an awesome question. And I would say there's so much, again, back to the expectations and projections. Most of us grow up with everybody else's ideal of life projected at us. You know, what's the things you should aspire to? What's the things you should value? What's the things that are the mark of success that if you hit it, then you're successful, you've nailed it, and if you don't, then somehow you're a failure. And from parents to grandparents to other family to teachers to society to religious institutions, go down the line. Everybody has their idea of all those things, aspirations, values, success. And they project them at us. And so most often, until we actually get that we can ask a question, we just buy into it and then we try to mimic it and we try to create it as our life. But the problem in all of that is we didn't stop to go, yeah, but is this actually me? And, you know, going back to your question of what have you always known as possible? It goes back to that. What is the thing you've always known as possible that might not match all of those things that have been projected at you, that might not match what everyone else says you should value and create as your life? And so there comes a space of getting how we just try to fall in line, try to go to our corner, try to match what everybody else says. And we can, because we know how, or we're, you know, we have the capacities to just, yeah, okay, fine, I can do that, sure, I'll do that. But nowhere in that do we actually stop and go, wait a minute, if I stopped looking through the eyes of everybody else and what everyone else tells me, what do I actually know? What do I actually desire? What would I like my life to be? What would I like to contribute to the planet? And so I guess the first thing in what you asked is, are you willing to give yourself permission to ask the question, what do I desire as my life and living? What would I like to create on the planet? If I could have my life any way I desire it to be, what would I know? What would I choose? What would I create? And that might sound really simple, and making that choice kind of goes against everything we've been brought up with, everything we've been entrained with, to actually give ourselves permission to clarify, what do I desire? No matter if it matches anyone else's point of view or not.
Wow, great. Well, very well put. And this is interesting, though, because so, and I'll make a joke here because I'm divorced twice too. But so,
oh, nice.
So that, you know, that's a common question where people are like, well, you know, how do I live my life while living with others? Now it's, you know, easy, not easy to go, well, if it's a boyfriend or whatever, or a husband, I can just divorce him, I can leave him, whatever. But like, you have kids, right? So it's not the kids can't go up. You know, I'm not going to take the kids and if you want any sort of social life, right? If you want any sort of social life, you can't kick everybody out, right? So how do you do that while living and working with other people?
That's an awesome question. Again, a big thing for me in all of that is there's a very different energetic difference in choosing against someone else versus choosing for you. So if you buy into the thing, well, I'm always taking care of everyone else and I'm always sacrificing myself for everyone else, I'm not going to do that anymore. There's an energy to that's like, you know what, you can all go away. I'm just, you don't matter. I'm choosing against you. I'm having me. And that actually does not create. And then there's a very different energy, which is, I'm so aware of you. I'm so aware of your desires, what you require, what you would like to have. And I count too. I matter too. So I'm going to choose for me, not against you. I'm going to choose for me while being very aware of you. I'm going to choose for me. And if a choice that I'm making is actually going to create a little bit of a weirdness in your world, I am so happy to sit down with you and say, hey, this is what works for me. How can we go about this in a way that works for you too? And I have had that conversation with all of my kids, even when they're quite young, of like, hey, I'm going to do this because this actually works for me, but I'm also aware of you and all these things. What do you require? And it's been so interesting to see that when you're not choosing against somebody, you truly are choosing for you and not against. And then you're willing to come to the table and say, how can we make this so it's a win-win for both of us? They actually know what it is, and it's usually very simple. It's usually not a hard thing. But it's the, I'm going to say, the posture of no walls, no barriers, not fighting against, a clear choice for me while including you, while not separating from you, while not pushing you away. And it opens up a whole new space for everybody to come together and create in a way that works for everybody rather than a fight or a resistance and a going against.
Awesome. So it kind of sounds like there's a co-creation in it. Like,
totally.
Hey, let's talk and let's see what works for everyone. And Wow. Yeah. Cool.
And with kids, I have to say it's so funny because it will be something as, hey guys, I need to go away for these 3 days because I'm going to do this, and here's who's going to be here and who's going to take care of you. And I get you'd rather me be here. So what's it going to take for this to work for you? And it's as simple as, can I have that video game? That's $40 that I want. And then I'm like, and then we're good? Yeah, we're good. I get blown away. I get blown away about how simple it is to actually do something that works for everyone, as long as it's the energy of co-creation, what you just said, rather than I have to fight for my space and I have to fight against you to have what I want. That actually creates a resistance in a fight that no one wins. But if you're just coming from the space of vulnerability, I'm choosing for me, not against you, how can we make this work? It's usually not a hard thing.
Wow, that's actually brilliantly put. Yeah, for somebody who's used to just remove myself from situations. Like, I'm not choosing me anymore. I've cut all myself off, and so I've got to go away to put myself back together rather than, is there a way that this can coexist? And that's great.
Yeah, and with what you just said, when we're so used to just, we become the doormat, we give ourselves up, it's always about everybody else, we have to make sure everyone else is okay. The natural tendency when we get that's what we're doing is to swing to the opposite side and go, well, everyone else can just go away. I don't care about anybody else because I've been doing everything for everyone else for so long. Now it's about me. But the thing is, you're actually creating the same thing just from a different way. So it's like, how can I look at all of this from a different perspective where it's not the reaction of, oh, I've been doing this, so now I must do the opposite. It's looking from a different perspective and going, okay, if I stopped giving myself up and I did not have to fight to have me, I just chose me from kindness, from nurture, from care, from contribution, from valuing me, what would be possible that I've never considered?
Wow, that's beautiful. And what would be possible, or even an invitation for everybody else too?
Yes.
Like, yeah. You choose you, and then, go ahead, please. Yeah.
Well, because nobody shows us that. What we learn is be the doormat or be the fighter. Be the passive one or be the aggressive one. Be the one who gets trampled on or be the one who does the stomping. That's what we've been shown. And
you've just summed up my whole life.
Mine too. I know. And I've done both. Dynamically.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, and neither one worked. Yeah. But there is a vulnerability to like, okay, so if it wasn't the polar opposites, if it wasn't any of that, if I actually looked from another perspective, what would I know and what could I create? And when we choose it, because it's not what we're taught in the world, because it's not something you see in very many places. When we choose it, it does become available because people go, wait, that's different. That's mm-hmm. not the either or. That's a something I've never seen before. I wonder what that is. I wonder how I can have that too. We right. become an invitation.
And then I love what you do with your kids. Like, that's great. It's like, how can we play together and not have to cut ourselves off, and it's not a win or lose. Like, I win because I get to do my thing, and you lose because I get to do my thing. So, wow, that's really brilliant. That's great.
Well, and what you just hit on too, that again, that's the way we function in the world, is somebody wins and someone loses. But when you go, you know what? No, we actually can all of us in this dynamic choose for ourselves in a way that creates together when I'm not having to be right. I'm not having to defend. I'm not feeling guilty and trying to make up for anything. I'm just showing up going, hey, it's my life too. Not in the exclusion of you, but my life too. Then all of a sudden there's this whole realm of possibilities that's actually easy, actually fun, playful, joyful. And what are you showing your kids? I mean, you're showing them, you know what? You don't ever have to give up you. You can have a relationship, you can have kids, you can have a job. You can do all the things and you can keep you. And we don't show that to kids very often in the world.
Right. So what a gift can we be? An invitation.
Yes.
Awesome.
Love that.
I know we're about to take a break here. So if anybody would like to call in and talk to Marnie, ask us some questions, you can call 202-570-7057. And we'll see you on the other side.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
What is magnificent about you that you've never acknowledged? Are you ready to let your own light shine? What if you were 1,000 times more potent and powerful than you give yourself credit for? What if there was a monthly call that is designed specifically to empower you to be all you can be? Would that be fun for you? Venus Castleberg is now offering a Magnificence monthly membership for only $50 a month. Mention this ad and receive 50% off. To register or for more information about the membership, events, and services, please go to www.venuscastleberg.com. Is now the time to be different?
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here with Marnie, and we're talking about living your life. And it's funny, right before the break, we were kind of talking about like how when you're working together and not running, you're not running each other over. You're not you're not being superior, you're not trying to cut people out, and everybody can win. Like, there is no winner and loser. So what if, like, I just know you enough to know that you're a pretty busy person. You have a lot going on. you have a lot of projects. You're managing a lot. So how do you live your life while being, like, while having so many other projects?
That's a great question. You have awesome questions.
Thanks.
So one of the things is always staying in question. And what I mean by that is, for a lot of years, you know, I worked in corporate America for a long time, and I was so driven by my list. I mean, every day I had the list, and how I felt about myself at the end of the day was how many boxes I ticked on the list and what I got done and all of the things. And then I'd rewrite the list, you know, carry over the things that didn't get done and add to it for the next day. And I was driven by the list, and that was my measure of success, which is really not a fun thing, because, you know, especially now, I'm probably doing more than I've ever done. I never would get the list done today as I used to get close to. I don't even get close anymore. But I've learned to live in question. So I still make lists because I like lists, and it helps me remember what's up and what things I've, you know, got my attention and energy into. But I love to just start every day with the question, what actually requires my attention? What things can I choose to do today that are going to create the most? And when I ask the question, there's never like a solid answer, but something will ping, like, oh, go over here, do that over there, and then, oh, and then over there. But there becomes this flow from peace, from ease, from not frantic, from not trying to do enough, from not trying to perform and strive, from not being dictated and driven by the list. But there comes this ease of being able to actually hear, oh, if I actually go do that right now, that's going to create the most. And then when that's done, okay, what next? And then there's a ping over here, and then I go over there, and I do that thing. So I've gotten very comfortable with not trying to have a sense of success or accomplishment by ticking all the boxes every day, but rather being in the question of, okay, what now? What requires me now? And what requires me next? And then what after that? And then going with the flow of whatever pings, and knowing that if I do that from a space of peace and ease and joyfulness and playfulness and question, everything that's required and even more is going to get done, and it's going to create greater in my life. And it's a very different way than what I lived for a long, long time. But it's, to me, it's like the difference between, if you've been to, like, say, the ocean, where it's like, you know, here's a better example. My son was, I think it was first grade or second grade, and he had a field trip, and we went to this botanical garden, and the kids were all given a bucket and a little net to scoop up fish. And so these are first, second graders. They're like pounding on the water, you know, scooping in their little fish net. And of course the fish are all just like going away. And there was one kid that I just zoned in on. He's literally laying on his tummy on the rocks with his hands into the water. And he's got the bucket next to him. He's got his little fish net. And he's literally just sitting still as can be. And the fish will go in his net. Boom. He scoops it up, puts it in the bucket. And then he put his net back in the water, sits quiet, still as he can be. Boom, the fish would come in the net. He'd scoop it into the bucket. None of the other kids caught any fish because they're feet in the water and all the things. And he was just in this space of let it come to me. Mm. And I sat there just going, ah, I'll have that. Because the frantic and the driven and the striving and the trying to conquer the list just makes all the fish go away. And I never get where I desire to go. But if I approach everything from question, stillness, and just let it be, let it come to me, then I get done way more than I could ever imagine.
Awesome. So would you say it's similar or the same, maybe even, but like when you're feeling like you don't have enough time to get?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Totally. Yes. No, I mean, I have often said there's not enough time in the day. How many times do we say that?
Right.
But there is something, again, and I'm not even sure I can articulate this very well, but if we stay in the space of question, what's going to create the most, what's actually required of me today, where can I put my energy, my attention, my even effort, that's going to create the most. When we stay in the question of that, sometimes we go beyond what's normal in terms of what you should be able to accomplish in a certain amount of time. And Gary Douglas, who's the founder of Access Consciousness, he has said to me on more than one occasion, you can get done everything you need to do in an hour. And there have been so many times, what? Have you seen my list? Do you know all the projects I'm involved in? And all the, what do you mean? I mean, it was like this total tilt in my brain of, no, I can't. Are you kidding me? You're deluded. But then as I really sat with what he was saying, I'm like, there's something available. And it's not even about the hour or the 4 hours or the whatever. It's not about the time. But there's something available when we stop buying the lie of time. When we stop buying the lie of here's what you can accomplish in a 24-hour day, when we stop trying to come from the space of accomplishing from a doing and a tackling and a striving and a performing to the space of creation, we go so fast and we get done so much more than we ever thought was possible. It doesn't even make sense if you try to look at it linear and logical. You get to the end of the day and you're like, whoa, that. And it didn't even take that much time. And there's an ease. So what else is possible if we didn't buy the limitations we're taught about time, about creation, about creating a business, about creating a life, all the things that we're taught are the limitations. If we didn't actually believe that, and if instead we said, okay, interesting, and what else is possible? If that wasn't true, what else would be possible? If that wasn't a limitation, what else would I know? And then from that space, just kind of see what opens up.
Beautiful. Well, when we're in that space where it's just creating, it's like time seems to just be irrelevant. It doesn't. It's like,
totally.
But when we're in the doing and the like, I have to get this done and here's my list, it's almost like, do you think we try to slow ourselves down to fit into the schedule?
I do. I think we try to slow ourselves down to fit into the schedule and to feel normal. Because it's like most of us, if you're listening to this conversation, very likely you function at a speed that is not normal as per everyone else that's around you. And so a lot of times we give ourselves permission to go just the littlest bit faster than everybody else. So we're still relatable. So we're not too weird. We're not too far outside of the box. We still go faster, but not actually as fast as we could go, rather than just going, yeah, none of this actually applies to me because I actually can go super, super fast. It makes me think of the movie The Incredibles, the first one with the family of superheroes. And did you see that one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So Dash, the little guy who runs super fast, and at first they're like, you can't go out for sports. You're too fast. You're going to blow everyone away. And then in the end of the movie, they let him go out for sports, but his family's standing in the stand going, faster, faster. He's catching up on you. No, not so fast. No, that's too fast. You're too far ahead. So they're trying to get him to keep this median so they don't know he's a superhero, but still win the race. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how much do we feel like that when we know we can just go so much faster, but we're still trying to fit in? So if we weren't trying to fit in or trying to be normal or still trying to be relatable or still not to be too different, how fast could we actually go? And what if we let ourselves do that, even if no one gets us, even if we're so far beyond the norm that they're like, I'm not sure what to do with that one.
Well, that really is the epitome of living your life, too. It's like if you're living your life, you're going at whatever speed works for you. And
yes, yeah.
And not trying to be normal. If you're trying to be normal, you're trying to live somebody else's life.
That's a meme. And very true. Yeah, very true.
Awesome. So, and I know this is a little bit of a topic, but I really wanted to go back a little bit to like when we were talking about like, okay, so how does it work, you know, when we're choosing for us? We don't want to be superior and run everybody over. So we're including people. So I know in Access we talk about the kingdom of we. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So to me, the kingdom of we is where I choose to not separate no matter what. And that doesn't mean that I do everything that everybody wants me to. It doesn't mean that sometimes I go, you know what, actually I'm not inviting you physically into my space right now because this isn't working for me. Whether or not I separate is a very energetic thing. It's a thing of whether I am in fight mode, resistant mode, you have to go away from me mode because I don't know what to do with you, or I'm in, you know what, this doesn't actually work for me, but I'm still here. I'm still walls down. I'm still barriers down. I'm still here. And if you ever desire to come and ask a question or have a conversation about this, I won't turn you away. I'm here. And I'm also not willing to do X, Y, Z, whatever that might be, because that doesn't work for me. And so I know we started off on the kids topic, and I have to say my kids have been very easy with regards to that, because kids tend to be still, you know, aware and way more aware than a lot of adults sometimes. So that part's been easy. It's been more challenging for me with people that I've called friends or people that I've worked with that I have come to the realization at some point, oh, they really like feeling like they're in control of me when they can get me to do these things for them, or they really like me being for them there for them 24/7, or they really like whatever the thing is, and I go, and that doesn't actually work for me, so I'm going to create a change with that. And then having their resistance, their reaction, their fight, their whatever. And to me, the kingdom of we is when that occurs, to not run away, to not fight back, to be very much present, but still tenaciously holding to, and I'm choosing this because it is my life and this is what works for me. Adore you, not putting up walls to you, here anytime you want to have a conversation about this, but if you continue to demand this, expect this, require this, that doesn't actually work for me, the answer is no, and I'm going to be okay saying no without a wall and without a fight. And again, that's the difference of not what we're shown here how to do, and a muscle you have, like a muscle that's, geez, I'm still very much developing that, like it's, you know, very much. I mean, there's times when I'm clear on, no, that doesn't work for me, I'm going to say no to that, walls down, barriers down, that I'm like, it'd be so much easier to run away, it'd be so much easier to have a fight, and what else can I choose?
Yeah, I've always had like the ripcord, you know, like I'm in a plane, it's going down, rip out, I'm out.
Exactly.
But that's beautiful. And so could you maybe talk a little bit about, like, when you see that's happening, what is like an action that you do or something that you, a tool that you use that helps you not pull the ripcord, not completely go, okay, yeah, walls up, disengage, separate?
Yeah. One of the greatest things I like to ask is, if I had total allowance for me and my choices, even if I'm wrong, what would that be? And so, because what I find is whenever I'm doing the runaway or the fight or the resistance, the bottom line is I don't actually have allowance for me and my choices. I'm trying to get it right. I'm trying to not be wrong. I'm trying to not hurt someone, to not offend someone, to not. There's all the things that I'm trying to avoid, and in that, the missing piece is not having allowance for me. So when I ask, what would allowance for me look like, be like, feel like, what would I choose if I had total allowance for me, it kind of shifts it to, oh, you mean I count too? Oh, I can even really screw this up, and I'm still going to have kindness to me because I'm not going to maybe hit the target all the time, and that's okay. So giving myself permission to have total allowance for me when I hit the target, when I don't hit the target, whatever it is I'm choosing at the moment, right, wrong, or otherwise, that sort of shifts and changes it to the willingness for it to show up however it shows up, because I'm going to have allowance for me. And that one, again, is a really a muscle that daily I'm strengthening. Hasn't come easy.
Well, I know, and I hope this is okay, but I know recently you actually even made some changes for you. And so what was some of the things that you realized and that you changed for yourself? if you don't mind sharing.
Not at all.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, not at all. So I work for Access Consciousness in lots of different arenas and different things, and I love it and it's fun. And I also started looking at two of the things I absolutely love to do is facilitate and write. And I went, oh, and where am I doing that? Oh, nowhere. And so I really got like, so am I living my life, or am I so aware of what everybody else desires for me and the ways that I'm benefiting and contributing to them, which again is not a bad thing. And again, has been a tremendous like value in my life as well. But where am I cutting off me in favor of what everybody else would like me to choose to create for them? Mm-hmm. And again, it's not an either or. It doesn't mean now I have to go, oh, well, now I must choose for me. So I'm not going to do any of these things anymore. I'm going to facilitate and write because all of you can go away because I've not been choosing for me. No, but it's looking at it and going, oh, I've been living in the either or universe. I must do what everyone else desires me to do at the expense of me, or I must do only what I desire to do and just separate and cut off from everyone else. And it's not that. So it was the willingness to sit with all of it and go, whoa, everybody else and what they desire require of me is so loud. First thing. Second thing, it's really easy for me to accommodate that and be good at it and have fun at with it. Not even like a horrible thing. It's very easy for me to go, oh, these guys would love for me to do this, this, and this, and I can do that, and I can still have fun, and actually it's all fine. And there is still a space where I'm not actually choosing what I desire as my life. So how can I have and choose all of it? How can I choose for me and go, oh, I'd love to facilitate. I'm going to choose that. Oh, I'd love to write. Going to choose that. That means I can't keep doing all of these things over here, and I don't have to cut you all off. I don't have to tell you to go away. I don't have to separate from you. I can still look and go, oh, and I would still love to contribute there. That's so much fun for me. Yes, I say yes to that. That one, you know what? No, I say no to that. That one, yes. But it's the willingness to look at all of it and tell yourself the truth, no matter what. No matter what, no matter who likes it, no matter who doesn't, and no matter how uncomfortable it is to move away from, wow, everybody here loves it when I fulfill all their desires and requires. They're really happy with me when I do that. And they may not be so happy with me when I say yes, yes, no, no. They would rather all yeses. But that's okay too. I'm willing to say yes to me if that means saying no to someone else and them not liking it. I'm willing to say yes to me even if that makes someone else uncomfortable. And I'm still here. So I don't know if that answers your question, but it's been a bit of a just day by day and choosing and choosing and choosing again and choosing again, and the constant choice to not ever flip to the resistance, but just walls down, barriers down, choosing for me while including you.
Awesome. I love that. Well, we're going to take another quick short break. We'll come back 202-570-7057 if you have any questions for Marnie on living your life, and we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Marnie Barranco, and we're talking about living your life. And right before the break, you said a bunch of really great things, and it's like, and a lot of it is like we were taught, like if I was to say yes to me and no to you, that is selfish. Yeah. Like, right? And it's like, yeah, there's so much programming that we're, yes, that we learn that we have to kind of unlearn. So could you just say a little bit about how you've unlearned some of that? Like, how do you say yes, yeah, to you, you know? And
yeah,
and it could, well, be a tool, you said, or, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, with the programming, because, I mean, you think about it, like 2 and 3 year olds are wonderful at saying no until they get in trouble for it enough times or told, don't you say no to me. Or all But actually, very early on, we're very comfortable with no. You know, there's some, whatever it is. I don't like what you just told me I had to do. I don't like what you told me I had to eat. I don't like that you're telling me what to do. The answer is no. And we're very, very comfortable with that when we come in, which is where, you know, this might be very American, but we get the terrible twos and the terrible threes because our little 2 and 3 year olds are very clear with their no. And we unlearn that because we're told it's wrong. You're supposed to do what you're told. I mean, how many of us grew up, why can't you just do what you're told? Well, we can't do what we're told because somewhere we know what we know for us. And somewhere we seek the environment that says you do know for you, choose for you. Even when you're 2, even though you need a little guidance, a little, maybe not over there, but over here is fine. You know, we need a little assistance with our no. But we do have this innate sense of us, and when anyone tries to tell us otherwise, we go, no. But we get in trouble for it enough, or told, why can't we, you know, do what we're told enough? And most of us end up giving that up. And my question is, what if you could reclaim it? Because until you're free to say no, your yes is not actually a yes. Until you can say, I would like for you to blah, 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 and I can go, actually, no, that doesn't work for me. Then if I say yes, my yes is not a yes. My yes is that's the correct answer. My yes is you asked, so I have to. Rather than, right, oh, no or yes. Oh, that one's a yes. No or yes. Ah, that one's a no. So what would it take for us to reclaim that innate empowerment potency of us where we're like, yes, no. And actually have it again and not make ourselves wrong for it. So how a tool to reclaim that? Well, first of all, was the question, what would it take to reclaim that? But also the willingness and giving myself permission. I noticed at some point, I'm not sure whose position or permission I was waiting on. I think my mom's, maybe society, maybe teachers, maybe some elusive concept.
Everyone.
Of God. I don't know exactly.
Just everyone.
But it was like I'm waiting in the wings for someone to tell me I can say no and get, or just give me permission to say no, to choose, to be me. And at some point I got, you know what? No one else is going to give me that permission. I just have to step up and give it to myself and take it.
Touché.
So what if you gave yourself permission to be you? to know what you desire, to know what works for you, to choose it for you, not against anyone else. And nobody can give it to you. It's really that, what's it going to take? What do I have to let go of? What lie do I have to just blow up? Or whatever, to actually choose to give myself permission to know for me, to choose for me, to say no, to say yes, to be me. Mm-hmm. So, and I would say it's a muscle and it's a choice. And on the heels of that, there is a space of being willing to let everybody else around you be uncomfortable without fighting against them, without separating from them, but letting them be uncomfortable and have their uncomfortable with your no, so that you can have you. Not trying to fix it, not trying to make them not be uncomfortable anymore. Just let them have their, I'm not sure what to do with you right now because you've always done what I thought you should do, and now you're not. And I really liked you better when you did what I thought you should do, and you're not. And I'm not sure where to put you, where to place you, or how to fix this. So I'm really uncomfortable right now. And for you to know that, and to just let that be without trying to fix it. And for those of us that are really good at not saying no, and really good at being the doormat, and really good at making sure everybody else has what they want, even at the expense of us, that's uncomfortable for us too. But what if you just noticed it, saw it, were aware of it, and went, okay, they don't like this. They were way more comfortable with this. And I'm still going to say yes to me, no matter what.
That's brilliant. And that you had a really great point there. Like, little kids, that when it's no, it's not personal.
No,
I'm like, wow, we take no so personal. Like, it has nothing to do with you. It just doesn't work for me. And I'm like, wow, that's so true for kids. Like, and then of course we're programmed not to do that, but it's like, they don't say, I'm saying no just to hurt you or spite you, but that's what, you know, we are taught no means later, you know, it's like, what?
Yeah.
So,
or even I'm saying no, and let me be logical and rationalize with you why it's okay for me to say no. Let me give you enough information so that you're okay with my no, because I need to prove to you why it's okay for me to say no. They don't do that either. It's just no.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
No attachment whatsoever. Just no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we could even do that with, like, you know, I said I was going to get something done and I didn't get it done. I don't need to have an excuse why I didn't get it done. I just didn't get it done. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
cool. And with that, it's like, how much do we give up what we know because someone else has a demand on us or an expectation of us? Or, I mean, I can say this with work things a million times. Like, you go in to do something and you just, it's not that you can't, but you don't, because you get a sense of, something's off, or something, I don't know, maybe I need more information, maybe it's not the time, not really sure, but there's not an ease to this, there's not a flow with this, and so I'm not going to do it. And then you've got boss or whoever, why isn't this done, and you were supposed to do this, and you're like, now I need to justify why, but I don't know actually the why, I just know the something. How many times has that been the case, and then a week later, there's a piece of information that whatever you did, you would have had to redo the whole thing anyway. What did you know? And so everywhere we give up what we actually know because some authority or some person we've made greater than us says we should, or says here's the timeline and here's the thing. And so we give it up in favor of that rather than going, what do I know? And what if I honored it no matter what? Once again, no matter what they say or decide or conclude about it, what if I let myself know what I know and never made anyone or anything greater than me, ever?
And not doubt yourself too.
And like, totally that. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, I've had that in work. You know, I have a partner, we work together, and I've had things that I'm like, I know this needs to get done, and I get that holding pattern, like, no, not right now, now's not the time. But then just doubting, like, wait, I know it needs to get done. So why can't I do it? You know, am I being lazy? Like, I go down that rabbit hole.
Yes.
Like, making yourself wrong, judging yourself. So that's the other thing too, is not making yourself wrong for what you know.
Totally.
Even if you don't understand what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because knowing isn't understanding. It's a perception.
It's different. Yes, totally. And like giving up the having to prove that I'm right or prove that I'm not wrong. And to me, the giving that up is the willingness to be wrong in everyone else's eyes and still know what I know. Like, okay. Or to be wrong and go, I'm not wrong, but I got that wrong. I'm not wrong right. as a being, but yeah, I kind of missed the mark there. Oh, well, next. What's next?
Wow, that's brilliant. I think I might have one more question for you, but I also don't want to run out of time. So I would love to Marnie has offered a really generous free gift to all the listeners today. And I would love for you to just share a little bit about that and how to find that.
Yes. So it's actually, if you go to YouTube, it's called Conversations. Is it with Contribution? I think Conversations with Contribution. It's a 4-part series. And it's with me and some facilitators of different classes within Access. And we looked at creation from a very different point of view. So rather than the, like how this reality says you create, you set goals and then you set your steps to the goals and then you work really hard to achieve the goals and here's your choices and here's what you can't do and all the rules that it tries to put on us that limit what we can actually create. This is a 4-part series of a whole different perspective. A whole different conversation of what if it's not about the right answer? What if it's about asking questions? What if it's not about you have choice A or B? What if there's infinite choice? And we just go into creation from a really different perspective. So if you have the chance and it feels fun to you to listen, there's so many awesome tools there to actually start to create your life from a space that's fun, joyful, playful, not the hard work that you've been told it has to be. So, Conversations with Contribution on YouTube. You can find it there.
Yeah, and I watched it. It was amazing. So I highly recommend it. And then I also know you have a telecall coming up with Betsy McLaughlin, Vulnerability, A Key to Freedom. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's a 2-part Zoom call. It starts on September 25th, which is a Wednesday, and then it's also October 2nd, which is the following Wednesday. At 2:00 Pacific time. If you can't join live, you can still get the recordings of it. And Betsy and I did a radio show a couple weeks ago about vulnerability. And it's actually very different title, but really similar to some of the elements we touched on today, Venus, of just, you know, choosing for you, the willingness to do that, the willingness to show up with others without walls and barriers or having to prove an identity or trying to present an image, just showing up, being you, choosing for you, without fight and without separation. So we're going to explore that topic a little bit more in depth over those 2 calls coming up.
Wonderful. That's great. And Marnie, how can people find you? I know that you facilitate classes and you also facilitate sessions and stuff. So how can people find you?
Yeah, so you can go to accessconsciousness.com and then click on Find a Facilitator and put in my name, Marnie Barenko, and you'll find me. The vulnerability call is there, so you can find that there. Or Facebook also, Marnie Barenko. Anything I've got going on, I post there. And you can find the vulnerability call and other things on Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Great. And so, Marnie, one thing that you said back before the break, you said, tell yourself the truth. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, when you say it back to me, it makes me want to cry. But some of us especially, are so good at being aware of everybody else. And I sort of said this before, but what everybody else wants from us, the pain in their world, the thing, and we're so quick to just move in and make it about everybody else. And make creating our life about what everyone else thinks we should have and do and be. And so telling ourselves the truth is actually a really vulnerable spot to just stop and be with you and let go of everything that anybody's ever projected at you from the time you came into the world. Parents and teachers and everyone else projected at who you were or who you should be or where you were hitting the mark or where you weren't. Like, being with that and being with everything that everybody says you should create as your life, and just like choosing to go, ah, interesting point of view. That's the points of view that have been projected at me my entire life. But if I was being with me and allowing myself to be the greatness and the brilliance and the potency and the beauty and the uniqueness of me, what would I know? What's the truth about that? It's so funny, because when we talk about telling ourselves the truth, most of us go to the brutal truth of how awful I am and where I've screwed up and not hit the mark. What if it's not that? What if it's telling yourself the truth of how amazing, potent, dynamic, what a gift, what a contribution, what you've always known that other people have tried to tell you you were crazy for, but you knew it. What if you knew it again? And what if you told yourself the truth about that? And what if you were willing to choose it no matter what?
Wow, beautiful. And thank you so much, Marnie. We so enjoyed having you here. Thank you, folks. Have a wonderful week. Yep, thank you, Marnie.